KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, we have light rain and 38 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. The Iowa Department of Transportation reported that a half hour ago that Interstate 80 westbound, about 4 miles east of the Walnut exit, was blocked due to a tractor-trailer fire. The fire has been put out, but they're still cleaning up the wreckage from that incident that occurred just before 6 a.m. today. Atlantic and Marnie firefighters responded to the scene, and we'll have more on that for you as information becomes available, including some pictures posted on our website from Mike Kennan, Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator. In the news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday unanimously agreed to pass a resolution abating property taxes erroneously leveled on patrons of the Cam Community School District. Cass County Attorney Dan Feisner and Auditor Dale Sunderman explained that the abatement would be for a period of 1 year only due to a line item error in the 2011-2012 budget.
Monies would not be refunded per se, but there would be an abatement for a period of time to allow for those to be recouped.
Tax was put on the wrong line in the 2011-2012 budget, and it needs to be removed from that line, and this is a way to remove it. Basically, since it would be very impractical to write a small check to each and every owner in there, do it by rebating it through the tax process.
Sunderman said the state auditor's office approved of the plan as long as the county attorney signed off on it, which, of course, he did. News time is 8:03.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value.
Board of Supervisors Wednesday morning approved the rezoning of a small section of land just outside the Atlantic City limits from general agricultural to light industrial. John Dvorak made the request to the county's zoning commission last month in order to expand his tire repair and automotive service business. The commission approved the request at its February 9th meeting and forwarded its recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for final approval. During a public hearing Wednesday morning, Zoning Commissioner Rich Hansen explained where the land was located.
It's in the southwest corner, section 33, Pymosa Township, which is the intersection of Olive Street and Great River Road. It was rezoning 4.5 acres.
Hansen said Dvorak did not need a DNR permit for waste oil disposal because there would need to be over 1,300 gallons of it on site in order for a permit. Dvorak said that during a meeting there wouldn't be any more than 160 gallons on hand at any given time, and the oil will not be stored underground. Instead, it will be stored above ground in approved plastic totes. Used oil and tires at the facility will be properly disposed of using local sources, so there won't be an eyesore of tires piled up around the business or on the property, as some had feared. Paul Lundquist attended the meeting as well, and he said while the business serves a need in the area and he salutes Dvorak's idea to expand his business, he was concerned about the possible effects of well water contamination.
From what I understand, this business is going to be located on high ground, directly over the only source of water for the entire city of Atlantic. I also understand from a meeting I attended about a year ago that there are some wells already in the Atlantic well field that have been shut down due to pollution. So what I'm bringing to you is, let's don't rubber stamp this. Let's stop, back up, get some real engineering involved, find out just what the potential damages to our only source of water could be from all the pollution that could happen.
Rich Hansen said because the property is located south and west of the wells, any damage would flow to the southwest away from the wells, which are about 1,000 feet away. Hansen said the Cass, Adair, Audubon, and Guthrie County Sanitarian Steve Patterson has conducted extensive surveys of the land and possible effects on the wells and determined there's no problem with the drainage or concerns over contamination. Supervisor Chuck Reakin said that's good enough for him because Patterson is well qualified to make that determination.
Well, I've dealt and you've dealt with Steve Patterson for a long time. This county's hired him, and I don't know if a sanitarian that's any stricter in the state of Iowa than what Steve Patterson is, at everything having to be virtually by the book and all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. If Steve Patterson had one doubt in his mind that there was a problem with this facility being approved there and this drainage and well contamination, he would have come back to you people and said, no, I wouldn't, or I wouldn't allow this to happen.
The board then voted 4-0 with Supervisor Frank Waters absent to approve the zoning change. Afterward, Lundquist said the board made a mistake, but he thanked them for looking into it. The Atlantic Police Department yesterday reported 47-year-old Douglas Bissell of Atlantic was arrested Tuesday. Bissell was taken into custody on a warrant out of Sarpy County, Nebraska, for failure to appear while on bail on a felony charge of making terroristic threats. Bissell was released from the Cass County Jail late Wednesday morning on his own recognizance, per instructions from Nebraska authorities. Three people from Nebraska have been sentenced to federal prison in a sex trafficking and prostitution investigation in Iowa. The U.S. Attorney's Office says Parrish Casebuyer, Cheryl Tucker, and Contrell Vertner, all of Omaha, were sentenced on Tuesday and Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Council Bluffs and Des Moines. Casebuyer was sentenced to 25 years in prison, and Tucker was given 10 years for their participation in a conspiracy to commit sex trafficking. Vertner was sentenced to 18 months for his role in the conspiracy to transport individuals in interstate commerce for prostitution. Authorities say the case stemmed from an investigation by Council Bluffs police in 2010 into an alleged kidnapping at an area motel where one woman was rescued and another woman was placed in protective custody. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa said yesterday 41-year-old Gary Eldred Kramer of Council Bluffs was sentenced Tuesday to 20 years in prison after he was convicted on conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine and possessing a sawed-off shotgun in the furtherance of drug trafficking charges. Judge John Jarvie sentenced Kramer to 120 months in jail on each charge, with the sentences to be served consecutively. Kramer pled guilty to the charges on September 8th of 2011. The judge also ordered Kramer to serve 5 years of supervised release following his incarceration, and he must pay a $200 special assessment to the Crime Victims Fund. Kramer will remain in custody of the U.S. Marshals Service pending designation of a Federal Bureau of Prison facility at which he'll serve his federal sentence. The case against Kramer arose from the execution of a search warrant at his residence in Council Bluffs on January 18th of last year. The search was conducted by the Southwest Iowa Narcotics Enforcement Task Force, or SWINE. Co-defendant 30-year-old Shannon Hardesty, who was living in the home at the time, was sentenced in November of last year to 14 years in prison for his role in the methamphetamine conspiracy. Officials say Kramer and Hardesty had conspired to distribute about 1.4 kilograms of a mixture or substance containing meth from the summer of 2010 to January 18th of 2011. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there's more evidence that the job market is improving. The Labor Department says 351,000 people applied for jobless benefits last week. That was unchanged from the week before. The four-week average of applications dropped for the sixth week to its lowest point in 4 years. A political advisor to President Obama says Republicans are damaging their chances of beating him in this year's presidential election by engaging in, quote, nasty, negative debates. Robert Gibbs told CBS's This Morning program that independent and undecided voters have been turned off by the Republican face-offs, which he says have dwelled on social issues, when strengthening the economy and putting people back to work will be the deciding issue. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Carolyn Bonamy, age 88 of Arcadia and formerly of Manning, died Sunday at the St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Carolyn Bonamy will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Faye Fredrickson, age 93, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Faye Fredrickson will be held today at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Arlene Leistead, age 94, of Elkhorn, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Arlene Leistead will be this morning at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Grace Gall, age 70, of Erling, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Grace Gall will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. The Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Joanne Johnson, age 78, of Weston, Missouri, and formerly of Anita, died Sunday at the Newmark Care Center in Weston. Funeral services for Joanne Johnson will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Janice Otto, age 84, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Janice Otto will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Clarence Summers, age 81, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Anita. Memorial services for Clarence Summers will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. John Hatfield, age 50, of Anita, died February 10th at his home. Memorial services for John Hatfield will be on Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Anita American Legion Hall. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has the arrangements. Lorraine Ely, age 86, of Lyman, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Lorraine Ely will be Saturday at 11:30 at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has the arrangements. Frank Silk, age 93, of Griswold, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Frank Silk will be this coming Saturday at 1:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Linda Sue Crawford, age 64, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Linda Sue Crawford will be on Monday at 9 a.m. at the Dallas-Fort Worth National Cemetery in Dallas, Texas. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. And 77-year-old Alan Hines of Elliott died Tuesday in Omaha. Services for Alan Hines are currently pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.